Welcome all you Ethelheads out there to Dial M from April, the AV Club's deep dive look at Riverdale. Today we're tossing back the Fizzle Rocks and discussing the Man in Black. I'm your host, AV Club Senior Editor Mara Egan, and I'm joined, as always, by Cameron Sheets. Cameron, hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Let's just kick things off real fast with our ice puncher. Archie and Jughead. We already saw them go to a farm, because that's where you go when you're on the run. Where do you want to see them go next?
Well, I mean, the whole thing with the farm for me was, as you saw on Twitter, and as I was messaging you about it, I was, like, obsessed with the fact that I was, like, they're going to Athens. Is it Athens, Ohio?
I think there's an Athens in every state.
Oh, it's one of those?
Like one of those Springfield situations?
Yeah, well, yeah. That makes sense that they used it then. Mm-hmm. But especially with them going to Toledo eventually to see Jughead's family, I was like, I am positive they're going to Athens, which is where we both went to college. Mm-hmm. So I was really thrilled to obviously not see the college campus, but I was like, ooh, cool.
Yeah, maybe, okay, if they're in upstate New York, mm-hmm. they're going to swing down through Buffalo. Mm-hmm. They're going to go through Cleveland. That's what I would like to see.
Yeah, see them in Cleveland.
Just hit 90 or whatever.
Yeah.
90 to, no, it's not 90 all the way, but you know. Mm-hmm. That's what I would like.
I definitely want more road trip. Like I want, I mean, it's been talked about like them riding the rails. You were saying that last week. Like,
oh God, why?
I want them jumping on trains.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're pretty much, now that we're already like talking about To Break the Ice, we're getting right into the segment, the first segment of the episode.
Yeah, let's talk about, well, it's the three-parter. They didn't break it down quite as like in the past. It was like tale one, mm-hmm. you know, so-and-so. It felt a little more subtle this time, yeah. I thought.
This felt to me, like that one was such a unique episode, Tales from the Dark Side. This was like, this is a normal episode, except the plot lines are divided.
It's just not editing. Just scattered. It's not edited.
Yeah.
Together.
Which really only came into play at the end because it was all in Betty's head. And you're like, you're getting all that narration from her. Otherwise, it didn't matter that it was this way.
Not at all.
So yeah, the first one is, you know, we pick up right where we left off with Jughead and Archie. Archie's supposedly heartbroken because he's leaving town.
Fat chits. He tries to make out with Riley Keough, like, instantly.
Immediately. Which, it's Riley Keough, sure. But
Laurie Lake.
What happened to that broken heart? What happened to Endgame?
I know. It was so fast. It was like days. Like literal 3 days.
I had this moment when I was watching it and I was like, oh, it's kind of funny to see him be like horny Archie again. But
I know. I mean, he was quickly like, I can't right now. My heart's somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But it was like, you fucking made the move, dude. Like it wasn't even like she came on to you and you reacted. It was like, was flirting with her. Ugh. Anyways, gross.
Don't we jump into that scene, one scene too, when she's just like shaving him with a straight edge razor?
Yeah.
It's like, how did that happen? What was the lead up to that?
Yeah. There's there's no situation that's like, I just love doing it. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to give you, it's not like, oh, can I give you a razor? It's
right.
Like, I'm gonna do it.
And I'm gonna like straddle you while I do it.
Oh God.
Let's play the soundbite from basically the beginning of the segment real quick. Just this brief conversation between Archie and Jug.
Still no answer? Look, Jug, maybe you should go back. I'm fine. Really? Dude, I'm gonna be fine.
Archie, no offense, but Betty took down a serial killer last year. You can't go for 5 minutes without being kidnapped or getting the crap kicked out of you. That was before you were marked for death by Hiram Lodge.
Yeah. Fact.
Funny to me, and total fact.
So, like, but here's the question. I mean, I kind of felt like the thing which, when Archie was like, I don't want to leave. Like, I just want to bail hay and do shit. I'm like, is there something, like, in the air? Like, is this town, like, mystically charged? Do you know what I mean? Like, well, is he buying into it? But then, no, it doesn't, like, I don't know, right?
That's what I couldn't quite figure out. Because it gets so weird when Archie's being horny and Jughead goes off to take photos. I have air quotes, but you can't see because you're listening to this. Yeah. But he goes to this town and all the men are gone. Mm-hmm. And the practical explanation is they're all off working. But everything's tagged. The one creepy old woman brings up drugs. It's like, what? What? I don't know. What do you want us to think?
No, it's crazy. Because, like, okay, they're all away working. Are they all, like, I mean, I guess then they're all just, like, locked down. Like, it's, like, one of those things that you see, like, in, like, SVU episodes where, like, the women are, like, in their bra and underwear, like, packing drugs because they can't hide them anywhere or whatever. But they're just, like, living there.
Yeah, just keeping things going. Mm-hmm. I mean, Riley and her younger sister.
Yeah.
Just protecting the property. Oh, did you know, people have pointed this out online, but this was the same farm used in Smallville. It's the Kent farm.
Of course.
The Kent family farm, which
I was thinking I that it's the same town. It's this town called Steveston.
Oh.
That they use for like Once Upon a Time and stuff too. It's like in Vancouver. Absolutely. It's a like little cutie town.
It is very cute.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, he fucking makes up with like Lori Lake, and then they thankfully, after they find out that the man in black is Hiram,
it's Hiram.
Get the fuck out of town.
Yeah. Well,
they outrun him.
Yes. Like,
literal running. Okay.
Which is funny. It kind of made me think of the beginning of Inglourious Basterds, where they're like, I don't need to go down that tangent. But, I mean, the insane thing that happens here is Jughead just shows up and like unties Archie, and then Archie's like, I can kill Hiram. I'm going to kill Hiram.
Mm-hmm.
Which is yet another like, what has happened to you?
I know. He did go to jail. Maybe he's hard now.
I know. I think that that's what they want us to.
But like him, also like, we just know you couldn't do it. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't kill him.
That'd be insane.
There's just no way you could do it. Like, I don't know. He would be like, get out of here, Hiram. You know what I mean? Like, even, like, beating him up to, like, a very bad extent seems unlikely.
And in any effect, like, Veronica, no matter how she feels about her dad, like, that is a weird thing to think that your boy... I mean, but again, Archie kind of forgot about Veronica
this doesn't want her dad dead.
So. No, no, no.
Or she would work on that herself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. No. It's crazy.
Yeah. And then they run away and decide to go visit Jug's family.
I know, which we're all waiting for.
Yes.
And there's photos online and they're amazing.
Yeah,
and his mom's wearing like amazing welding clothes.
I was going to say the welding outfit is great. But it is kind of a bummer. Like, I would love to, maybe they will. I would love to see Gladys Jones in Riverdale interacting with.
Yeah, maybe she'll drive him back.
Yeah, could be.
You know?
Could be. I guess we'll see. We have obviously have two more segments to get into. Let's take a break. And we'll come back to the next one.
Mm-hmm. Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself. All right, we are back. Let's talk about Veronica. She has kind of a storyline.
Yeah, I guess. It feels really circular.
So she finally moves out. I don't really remember. It's like, finally, Mom, I can't take it anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm moving out. So she goes and lives in the speakeasy in one of the booths, which feels like, get an air mattress.
Right.
But okay. Then she decides that they're not making any money, which I believe we talked about this on the podcast several weeks ago.
Where
we're like,
did.
You can't like sell like two mocktails a night to like teenagers that have homework.
Right.
And stay afloat, which like, surprise, she realizes. And with that sad table of like teens.
I really loved that detail. I thought that was so funny.
Was there playing G&G?
I think they were.
Yeah. It's like when you went to Denny's when you were like in high school.
Oh,
you get like fries and a bottomless Coke, please. Thank you.
And then
like, here's a $1 tip. Yeah.
Those poor wait staffs would have to just humor us.
Yeah. And it was constantly like one person wants a refill and then they bring it back and like the other one wants a refill.
Oh, teens are bad. Sorry.
Yeah.
One time, I was one of them.
When I was a waiter, I just brought a pitcher to be like, just here, just do it yourself.
Mm-hmm,
and like the restaurant was like, don't do that. Like we're trying, you know, it's not like a good move, blah, blah, blah. Like it's not like a nice move. And I was like, it's fucking bullshit.
Do they care?
Yeah.
I thought that the detail was, again, of them, the teens playing the game there was really funny. And it reminded me to say like, well, this is kind of episode in general because we'll get to some other stuff later. whether intentionally or not, all of this, I thought this was one of the funnier episodes in a while.
It is
there
funny.
Were a lot of details that I was just like, that is absurd. And I laughed quite a bit. Mm-hmm. One detail being...
I saw this on Twitter. I know what you're going to say. Is it Veronica's drink?
Oh, that especially. Okay, so one thing which I did put on Twitter is Veronica's drinking a virgin martini.
I think it's a real martini.
You think so?
Yeah. I don't know. That's just how I feel. I feel like she would drink a martini.
Yeah. I mean, she seems like a martini person, but it's like if there's really no alcohol in the speakeasy, she's just drinking water with olives in it, which I do like olives.
So. Yeah, there's no, it's like a LaCroix. It's like olives, like,
Maybe. Oh, God. The other detail I was going to say is like her insistence that the house always wins. I think that there's like some accuracy to that where she just has this weird warped teen version of like how things work. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, I've always heard that the house always wins, so I'm going to keep saying that. Like, I don't understand what that means, but the house always wins.
Yeah.
And I really like that she.
Yeah. Like, I would also say, this is probably a bad example because it might not be true at all. But, like, there are probably days, like, the casino, like, if you went to the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, like, that they might break even.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no. Like, it's over time. Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
Like, they, and, one like, night. The odds, in general, the house is always going to win. But, like, you're not going to make all your money in one night and then hope to have people keep coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I lost $200 in one night, I'm not going to be like, oh, I better go back. I mean, that's just me. I guess a lot of people do that.
Right.
Hey, I'm off on a weird tangent.
Well, no, but you're making a good point about the absurdity of Veronica's plan. It makes no sense. And
that she, well, basically, I mean, we haven't even really talked about this, but she decides to go bad.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
She's like getting into bed in the metaphorical bed with Elio and mm-hmm. is like having gambling in her speakeasy now, which is also, I mean, I know Minetta is, we find out, dead.
Missing his hands and head now.
Yeah, is missing his hands and head. But like, come on, dude, like you're gonna get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. It's going to come back. Cause we've seen this happen time and time again, like, with
Pop's
these mob
gonna
families.
Be out on the street.
Poor Pop. He's so sad at the end mm-hmm. of this. Well, so right. The like crux of all of this is she partners up with Elio to make this happen. Hiram tries to warn her against it. She brushes it off. Oh, let's play the interaction from their Let's play the clip from their first interaction.
It's ironic, for all your high talk on running a legitimate business, you're now inviting a bunch of criminals over to play cards. Times must be tough.
They're not criminals. They're Elio's friends.
And how do you think Elio's family built their gambling empire? They're cheaters and criminals, and they're gonna rob you blind.
Yeah, well, you would know all about that, wouldn't you?
Are you angry about something?
Specifically wanted to play because of Hiram's final line. Are you angry about something? It's like, yeah, literally everything you've done since you've come back to Riverdale.
Mm-hmm.
So she is mad and she kind of brushes him off there. And then for some reason, she like later reveals that she like happily showed back up at Pembroke and was like, I'll take a meeting with my dad. And then she takes his advice.
Yeah, that Elio's trying to screw her.
Yeah.
And that she should hire this dealer. Which is like, why would you even hire that dealer? Like, how mm-hmm. do you know that dealer doesn't work for your dad and is trying to shut you down?
Right.
Like, I guess, I mean, I understand that her dad is, like, still her dad and he has a soft spot for her and he doesn't want to see her, like, screwed over. Mm-hmm. But he also does, like, 100% wants her to.
Seems like it. It's and for crazy. Some reason, she's like, he's not all bad to Pop, but he is.
I mean, I guess he's not all bad. Like, I'm sure he, like, would pick her up from school. Like, he looks out for her. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But, like, yeah. I just don't understand, like, it's what his, like, end game is with her.
Mm-hmm. Me neither.
And
maybe
he's just trying to, like, make her tough.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I guess so.
Like, however that happens. Like, he's going to be like, your little place isn't going to make any money here. Knowing that, like, she's going to go, you know what? He's right. We're not going to make any money. I'm going to get into crime or whatever.
It's tough love. Different parenting styles, you know? Just don't take any notes for when you're raising your kids from Hiram, please. Or any Riverdale parent.
I mean, I don't know. I want them to be entrepreneurs.
That's true. They can do anything.
Andrew and I joke all the time that they need jobs.
Yeah, they should.
Mm-hmm.
They got to start making money for the family in this economy.
I know. My parents used to make me, like, I'd be like, I would like this candy bar. And they'd be like, use your money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the time. So, I need to start them. I need to get them, like, on their own shit.
Right. I don't know. But just, again, don't take Hiram's advice. I don't know. This segment is so nothing to me. It's like, it kind of comes back to the point it started at.
Mm-hmm.
Where she's like, yeah, my dad is a bad person. She has a momentary lapse thinking he's not. And then she's like, oh, no, no, he totally is.
I think this segment is just being like, yeah, she's like spinning because her and Archie broke up or whatever. So she's like, and Betty's God knows where. And like no one is really paying any attention where Betty is. And she's just like going to get into crime now.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's just like a way to set that up.
Thankfully, aided by Reggie. I've been really liking him. I love his pants.
They're really good. Night.
My God, looking great. So they're fun together too.
And as people said on Twitter, and I agree with them, I would like to see them get together, have like a fling.
Because we know they have real life chemistry. Ooh, yeah, I like that a lot.
Well, speaking of Betty, she is doing her Betty stuff at the Sisters of Quiet Mercy.
Yeah,
and she has her roommate / spy Ethel.
Everything is incredible about all of this interaction.
I really like the segment the most, of course. I'm like total, like I'm like a Betty apologist, but like I'm always like, I like it. It's the best one. It's the best story.
Even when she's acting selfishly, all of her motivations, everything she does makes sense, I think, as a human, unlike Archie. You know what I mean?
I will say it doesn't make sense, like, in the world. Like, oh, no, why no one would be like, no one would be like, take your drugs in front of us. And I could just be like, candy, thank you. Like, walk away. And then she pours it in the garbage can, which is like, pour it in the toilet.
Yeah.
Anyways.
No, great point, great point. Because, yeah, Ethel finds it right away.
Yeah.
We get so much in this segment. Again, I think maybe the first time we're hearing voiceover from Betty because she has no like actual allies there. So we're just getting all this internal monologue, and it gives us amazing, amazing moments of humor.
And also like an amazing, for this ep, we do get like a lot of story. Like
we do.
A lot of stuff is like explained. Like, yes, the man in black is Hiram. Hiram is using this town to like build his drugs. Hiram is using this like girls' nunnery, I don't even know what it is.
Still don't know what they're
to like
doing.
To test his drugs, like, and like, yes, we don't know who the Gargoyle King is and like why the fuck he's testing these weird drugs, but like we do get a lot of exposition and like a lot of story moving forward.
Yeah He's their angel donor.
And the ghoulies are like loading the stuff in with the truck.
Yeah, that's right, from the maple truck that Claudius is driving. It's all connected, which is
and
fun.
Hiram basically says that Betty needs twice as much dosage.
Yeah, when
like
she finds
two,
her file.
Like, specifically Hiram says that, H.L.
Or? Hermione.
Oh, it could be Hermione, I guess.
H.L. also stands for... Yeah. I don't know. Just a thought. But I do want to play my favorite soundbite of the whole show, maybe, even.
Betty, I don't think Jughead's into you anymore. We connected when we played the game together, and... things got pretty hot and heavy in the bunker.
This psycho bitch.
Oh, he definitely told me about how you blackmailed him into kissing you.
I mean, psycho bitch is so funny.
I love, again, I constantly forget her name, but the girl that plays Ethel is
Barb.
Sienna Burgess from the show.
We did this like 2 weeks ago.
I know, we do it every time. And I'm like, shit. But I love her. I think she's great.
I do too.
And I like them together. Like, it's like a great, like, they're both very good at acting. Do you know what I mean? Versus, like, somewhere I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And Betty has such contempt for her at this point, which is such a mean girl thing. But, I mean, Ethel does kind of call her on it. And I think it's funny that Ethel thinks of Betty as, like, a queen bee because she's not really.
I don't think Betty would call herself that, but she sure is. Especially when you're, like, a little crazy and, like, kind of beat down.
But, yeah.
And Betty also, like, always like, sorry not to interrupt.
No,
Betty is also always looking out for herself. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, like she's not like Ethel. Like, you're here. How are you doing? Like, blah blah blah. She's like, how are you doing? Like, do you know where this is? Do you know what I mean? Like, she's singularly minded. Like, she is not like, hey, like I'm legit concerned about you.
Yeah,
she does not have time to do that.
She has no time.
Yeah,
suffers no fools. Shannon Purser.
Yes.
We also get to see her vision board, which is really, really funny because that was kind of the detail from the Carrie episode, but now it's like full Gargoyle King vision board. And then she reveals that the Gargoyle King wants her and Jughead together. And then that's when Betty gets her other great line and is like, Ethelhead? No.
That's weird because real friends don't kiss each other's boyfriends.
That's because the Gargoyle King wants Jughead and me to be together.
Oh, yeah?
We're gonna be a ship.
Oh. Ethelhead? In your dreams.
Yes. Frankly, it should be Ethhead, but I'll let it go. Like Methhead, but...
Or Jethel. Jethel.
Yeah, Jethel's good.
Those are good.
Jethel.
Jethhead. I actually really like Jethhead.
Yeah.
Wait, does that make sense?
Like Methhead?
I guess so, because you're just putting the name... Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're just like... You're really like... You're putting Ethel like right in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or so, Ethhead.
But... Yeah, she has the plan the whole time to figure out what she can. She knows that there's this escape, but it's like, of course, this escape is going to get blocked mm-hmm. off. And while she's like trying to figure out more and plot her escape, she also finds out that there's like, I guess the infirmary, and she keeps hearing about the Gargoyle King and keeps noticing that people are like going to visit him when they're bad or something.
And like screaming.
And so after she gets caught, because this door's been bricked over...
Which, by the way, sorry, when she goes to, like, try to, like, see the Gargoyle King, there's, like, the church thing.
Yeah.
And she's like, I was just looking for the infirmary, or, like, whatever she tells Ethel. I'm like, say you're just looking for a place to pray. Anyways, I know it's a TV show, but I was like, Betty, these are shitty lies.
Yeah, like, make her buy into it more.
You were getting fucked up here.
You're totally right. You're totally right. So she gets that meeting.
Because she fakes a seizure.
Gets that meeting with the big boss. Oh, she fakes a seizure. Mm-hmm. That's when she's in the infirmary, finds the file.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets caught trying to escape and has to go talk to the Gargoyle King.
After she does, like, a bunch of fizzle rocks.
Oh, yeah. So.
And, like, gets manhandled. And now she's, like, all glory be to him.
Right.
Or whatever it is.
Yeah. And now she's, like, well, it's weird because she was getting so specifically targeted with those ink blots, the Rorschach test. It's like, that was obviously the Black Hood.
I know.
And now she's like fully seeing them and giving into it. And it's like, is there something to Fizzle Rocks and these drugs that is like stoking paranoia and fear within people? And like, that's part of the idea of the plot.
And maybe that's like what happened in the past. Cause they say like, well, Hiram was the one that brought the Fizzle Rocks like the first time
mm-hmm.
in the 80s/90s. For the first event. So maybe he's still working on it. Scoping paranoia.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's something to that for sure.
Let's take a break and come back and talk. We are racing. But we'll come back and talk about some episode stuff. All right. We are back with our episode review. Cameron, what did you think of the season's big three-parter?
Truly loved the Betty stuff so much. The rest of it, I was kind of like, what? But, you know, I feel kind of delirious. It's felt like a week for me. And I think that, like, I couldn't even wrap my head around this episode. Obviously, we've really, like, what's going on in the show anymore? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not a fair question. I know what's going on, but it's just like, this is so insane. And I love it, you know?
Yeah. I did. I mean, I still enjoy it. Like, I enjoy the show.
Mm-hmm.
But it is me being like, what the fuck are you doing, Archie? Like, all the time. Like, and like, Betty, no, don't put them in the garbage can. Like, it's like watching a horror movie, you know, where I'm like, not upstairs.
Yeah,
like,
don't go up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, this is, you know, I mean, again, I've said this since I've started doing this podcast. They're supposed to be fucking teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, here we are. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if it's supposed to be like a, you know, mission accomplished, they wanted this to be another short story, stories of
and
terror.
And also, like, every time Jughead calls Betty, he's like, oh, she's still not answering. Yeah. It's been days. It's like, call your dad, dude. Like, be like, where is she?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you should be worried. We know what Betty's gotten into in the past.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I don't know. He seems like a good boyfriend sometimes and then.
Yeah, and then sometimes, like, the worst boyfriend.
And then, I mean, back to Riley Keough, like, I'm so thrilled that she manifested this guest role with a tweet, but, like, I wanted
a little thankless.
Yeah, was, like, hoping she'd get to go big, because she has been, like, really big in some movies before her performances have, and so I wanted some more there, but I don't know, interesting.
Maybe we'll see her again. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
She could turn back up, yeah. But interesting what this episode does in terms of really making... I don't know. It makes Hiram's plan more explicit without really explaining anything. Like, I still don't. Is he trying to scare people? If there's this culture of fear, are they more susceptible to, like?
Are you in the speculation booth, Cameron?
I think I am. Wow. Should we pop in?
I think so. Let me grab your milkshake here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Look where I've been sitting this whole time. And I didn't even know.
Yeah. What is Hiram's plan? The Blossom? Clifford Blossom?
Hmm. Is it Claudius?
Claudius Blossom is Uncle there Claudius. With the trucks, and they don't even serve syrup in the cafeteria.
Right.
You know, the ghoulies are involved. Claudius is involved. It's like the coalition that we saw at the end of last year.
Yeah, definitely. Which is exciting to think about, because I remember thinking, it's like, oh, this is a really funny promise to like have this group of villains working together.
And it is exciting to think about, like, oh, we are like learning more of the story. Mm-hmm. It's not just like, okay, like they're still playing this board game. Like, it's craziness.
Yeah. But I guess, you know, as I was speculating pre-Booth, which is a wild thing to do, like, he's trying to stoke this culture of fear, and he's testing this stuff out on these people in the home. Is the Gargoyle King part of his plan, or is it a coincidence, or is somebody trying to capitalize on all of this too?
I think the Gargoyle King is part of his plan, but I think it's also like the most convoluted version of it.
Yeah.
Like, okay, like you want Fizzle Rocks, you're going to make people scared, but like the way you're making them scared is through a elaborate board game with like a fictional god component versus like, I mean, I guess, hey, whatever.
Why not? Pretty amazing master plan. Yeah. I don't know why you thought that would work, but it kind of is.
And frankly, kudos to the writers of Riverdale for coming up with this idea. Mm-hmm. I like to think of how that was broken down in the writer's room.
Yeah. I mean, it's really funny to think that, I know we've talked about it a few times now, but like a lot of this was like initially inspired by like the moral panic of like when Dungeons and Dragons came out and mm-hmm. that sort of thing. And so like they really spun it off, and they're like, this ties into his plan, and it's quite ambitious.
It's a humdinger.
So I mean, what questions do I have in here from this episode? I was like just trying to reason out the drugs. Oh, one other thing to note. Betty's reading through the file, and Buliolapis is the name mm-hmm. of the thing, which stands for stone bubble.
Yeah.
So it's basically like pop rocks.
Yeah, of course.
Which is really funny.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just a detail I thought worth pointing out. I guess I can't make heads or tails.
One of your other questions here is, how will Betty escape?
Oh, yeah.
I hope it's Cheryl again. Oh, please.
Would make sense.
I mean, Tony, but yeah.
Cheryl. I mean, the more pressing question is, who's going to be the first to actually notice that she's not around?
Oh my god, like seriously, like when she just doesn't show up for school, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Like, does Veronica not notice? Like, Jughead, okay, he's on the road.
Right, which, bad boyfriend, but
he's away. Yeah, but like, hasn't Veronica gone, like, wait a minute. It feels like it's like a more, it seems obvious.
Veronica just broke up with her endgame boyfriend. The first thing she should want to do is talk to her best girlfriend. And she's known to talk to?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like, Kevin? Is she just talking to Kevin?
Yeah, Kevin's been off in his own world.
In his own shit, yeah.
Josie's probably still getting over a seizure, so she can't check in.
I know. I guess maybe they're not even really that good of friends to begin with.
Probably not. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, do you have any thoughts there? She has to get herself out, maybe.
Someone needs to help her. Was she going to run all the way home? I guess it's possible, but like, I think she needs help.
I mean, they let them outside.
Yeah.
To like trim.
To do like the yard work.
Yeah. So she just stabs somebody with the shears and make a run for it.
Yeah, she'll figure it out. Mm. She's like together.
I don't know.
Let's play the name game.
Yeah.
Next week's up is called Outbreak.
Outbreak.
The 95 disaster movie with the monkeys.
Yeah, that's all I remember.
It was like monkeys. There was like two movies around the same time, like Contagion, I think was the other one.
Well, Contagion's much more recent.
Maybe it wasn't Contagion.
That's one where Gwyneth Paltrow
dies.
There's
two, like, Ebola scary movies.
Oh. Well, it definitely feels like I only have the vaguest memories of Outbreak. But
I feel like it was one of those, again, I could be totally wrong, but it's one of those, like, you know, it's like Independence Day and the other one that I can't remember the name of.
Yeah. Or how there was the two movies about going to the center of the earth at the same time. The Core and something else. I can't remember, but
right. We get the A points here.
So not like a super classic movie. I mean, in my mind, obviously this just has to do with I'm shaped now
by drugs.
The drugs. I'm shaped by now having seen the teaser though.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really brief, but we do get like a lot of shots of like more people convulsing on the floor.
Oh, so maybe something happens to the drugs.
Yeah, I wonder. But it's just like, are those convulsions, are these seizures connected to the Pop Rocks, are they connected? I'm sorry, Fizzy Rocks, are they connected to whatever was causing the seizures before?
That's a good point. Because you couldn't really sneak Fizzy Rocks into someone. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, because you feel it in your mouth.
Yeah, unless it's like an air or something. Like when it pops, it like releases the air. But that feels like it's too scientific for a CW show.
Way too much science. I don't like any of that. I'm freaked out by the science. I don't know.
You also have here that in a tweet about production of the app, Roberto referred to the show as a mid-season finale. Mm-hmm. So no, I guess we're not really going to get a Christmas app, which is fine.
Yeah, I'm going to miss Tree Salesman Vic, though.
I know. And, Tree Salesman
Remember?
Vic.
Remember? Such a
the
sweet
start
guy.
Of the prostitution ring.
Yeah.
And then it says Lodgedale instead of Riverdale.
Right, there's a sign, and it says Lodgedale on it, which is like, okay, this is all part of this plan, I guess.
Mm-hmm. God, who makes those, like, script panel things where it's, like, the deepest fucking refs?
That's always what I wonder, too. I don't know, but I just really can't wrap my head around the plan, and I don't know. We've been talking about it for a while, but...
Yeah, but speaking of people that have wrapped their heads around the plan...
Yeah.
LaToya Ferguson, who... until now has done the AV Club's Riverdale review. She yes. finally has cracked and is like handing it off because she can't like enjoy the show anymore, which is like, God bless her. I did the same thing with a very different story, but I did Jersey Shore reviews for like 2 years. And then I was like, I can't do this anymore.
It's tough to live in the show and write about it.
Yeah.
That way.
I just want to watch Jersey Shore. Mm-hmm. But she has and I actually just met her this week, which is very exciting for me. And she has a big theory about Riverdale.
Yeah.
She's about the Gargoyle King. Do you want to elaborate?
Yeah. I mean, written this in the comments of her normal review, where she was like, just kind of some speculation, but she has a pretty strong theory that Hermione is actually the Gargoyle King, which, like, probably why the HL stood out to me earlier, because I was like, what if Hermione's behind all this?
Good point.
Some choice highlights from her long post about this. We're introduced to Hermione's backstory of raging against her Catholic upbringing, so becoming the Gargoyle King, a false idol, is a way to do that. Sure.
And using the Sisters of Quiet Mercy, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Something, the next point I really liked, had Archie been killed last week, technically that would have been the end of this obsession with Archie Andrews she was railing against.
Mm-hmm.
From her husband and daughter. In fact, after that outburst, she stormed out of the penthouse, and then Jughead saw the Gargoyle King out in the woods. So
the idea of her like in this dumb costume though is like little much for me. Like, does she wear shoes that aren't high heels? But
yeah, okay, and that makes her tall.
Yeah.
Hermione was quick to point the finger at Penelope, who was like an obvious pick for nefarious evil doing. Mm-hmm. Subverts the Riverdale trope that the dad did it, which
that's a good point.
I like that fact. It's a way for her to pull power out from Hiram's nose, like with the warden.
And also, I mean, isn't she supposed to be the godfather? But like, just disappeared.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that, I mean, her last point was basically trying to reconcile the fact that, like, I don't know, Hermione's really lost her sense of... she felt like her own character a while. Hiram shows up, she took a backseat, and now she's just like, what do you stand for? You're the mayor. Like, what's going on? You're mm-hmm. just letting all this shit happen. It's like, where's your spine?
Yeah.
And so it's like, maybe if she's pulling this game on everybody, then there's your answer.
Yeah, and maybe she has been since day one.
Mm-hmm. Gives her a little bit more credit. Something else LaToya had mentioned that I must have missed in the notes is that apparently it's been publicized that, I don't want anyone to be mad about this being a spoiler, but there is supposed to be some sort of a death in the mid-season finale.
Like a big death?
I think so.
Or like a Midge death.
Or, yeah, right. Aw,
we'll
Midge.
We'll see. What if it's
We
Pops?
Will. I hope it's not Pops. I will lose my damn mind. Speaking of, where's Nana Rose?
Oh, no, what if it's Nana Rose?
She's not going to die. She'll never die. I forgot that we haven't talked about her as much this season, even though she's still very much missing.
Yeah.
And thank God for Sherry Chung the other week being like, Nana Rose is the best.
I know, and I'm like, oh my God, it's not just us.
Yeah.
When she said that, I was literally like, phew, mm-hmm. like, because that was early on in our interview, like when we were talking to her, and I was like, okay, she doesn't think we're weirdos.
Yeah, we punched the ice there.
Yeah. let's take a break and we'll come back and talk about fan moments.
Yep.
Now turn to the latest edition of The Blue and Gold, where we talk about our favorite Riverdale adjacent moments every week from the cast, the fans, mm-hmm. and beyond. What's yours?
It's such like a general, like Lily's presence online is always my favorite thing. She had two Instagram stories in recent memory that I wanted to point out. And one was just a text one, which I'll read. She said, I was watching the movie Life Size on TV and saw Alvin Sanders, who plays Pop Tate, on our
That's
show.
That's what I was thinking. When we just mentioned Pops, I'm like, fuck, I knew he was just in something.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And I was like, what is it? What is it? Now, there you go.
Yeah, she said he was a security guard in that movie. And she gasped because she's like, I own this movie on VHS and watched it once a week. And she said, the world is strange and fun and wonderfully small. And it was just like a nice appreciation of Alvin.
Yeah. Love I wonder that. If she talked to him about it.
I hope so.
Yeah.
And then the other one more recently, a brief moment is a photo of Cole with one of her family dogs and captioned, I just want to get another look at you, which, you know, the line from A Star Is Born.
I know. The meme of the year.
The meme of the year.
I think.
So that's all to say is she just continues to make me laugh. I love her.
I know. I just think, I mean, not to shade other people from Riverdale mm-hmm. on Instagram. But I just think like I vibe better with her stuff than I do, say, Madeline stuff.
Sure. For sure.
Yeah.
You guys would get along.
Yeah. I don't know.
Do you have blue and gold?
Do I have blue and gold? You know, I know there was something and I totally forgot what it was. And I'm screwed now.
I remembered another fact I wanted to point out in its place. And I think it has been like popping up on Twitter as like a, did you notice? The dealer, blackjack mm-hmm. dealer, they call him Johnny Goldwater. Did that name sound familiar to you?
It did not.
Well, John Goldwater is one of the exec producers of the show and one of the founders of Archie Comics.
Oh, that's cute.
And in fact, we've talked to that guy. And that I caught during the show. I did not know that that was actually one of his sons playing the dealer, which is funny.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
I might have met that guy too. I just remembered the thing I was going to talk about. You and I both received from Scholastic Books.
Oh yeah, I need to take
copies of The Day Before, a Riverdale novel number one, which is a prequel novel, and it's about like the day before Jason Blossom dies. And so like Betty's doing her internship, Jughead's like living at the movie theater, like whatever the fuck he was doing. Archie's working construction, and Veronica's like in New York. And so it's not out till December 26th, which seems strange, but I guess kids can go use their like Amazon gift certificates after Christmas to buy it. It is $7 on Amazon, and I think you and I are going to read it, and maybe we can do, like, a special, because if next week's the mid-season finale,
yeah,
maybe we can do, like, a special up, like, in January or whatever, like, we'll read it over holiday break and come back and talk about it.
Yeah, because you gave those to me the other day, and I, like, not even so much as looked at the cover of them, because it's just been crazy.
The cover's really pretty, actually, the cover of the novel. There's also, Scholastic also has, like, a Riverdale, like, basically it's, like, a yearbook, mm-hmm. and you can, like, flip through it, and that was, like, I think came out kind of like after season one or mid-season two like, hey, Riverdale. You know, like I used to get those when I was growing up. Like, oh, I love Saved by the Bell or whatever. And you get like the book that goes with it.
I love tie-ins.
Yeah. But I bet, you know, if we both flip through the yearbook, we'll find some funny stuff in there. I mean, post photos on Twitter. And then we should read the novel and see what we think.
Definitely going to have to check
Even if it's
out.
Like a mini app. We'll have like a book club.
Ooh, I love book club.
Holiday book club.
Yeah, I know. I guess it's not really clear when the show comes back mm-hmm. in January.
But. You know what we could do? If people want to get this book and like tell us if you want to do this on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And if no one says yes, then we won't do it. But like if people want to read the book and we can like say we're going to record the app at this time or whatever, either people can send in like voice memos or we can like take
That's
calls
fun.
Or something even to just do like the book club for the book.
Yeah,
voice guys, memo. It's $7. And
use those Amazon gift cards.
Yeah, on Kindle it's $5.99.
Even better.
And it's a YA novel, and it looks real fast to read.
Oh yeah, I think it's a breeze.
Yeah.
Like I'm gonna read it, and it hopefully, mm-hmm. yeah, I don't know. I'm excited to dig in. It'll be nice supplementary. I feel like we were always like, it's gonna be a break. Like, what should we do in the meantime?
Yeah, the questions right here said, this is probably from the back of the book. Why did Jughead and Archie have a falling out? What did Veronica's life look like in the Big Apple? And how long has Betty really been in love with Archie? Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I forgot that Jughead and Archie like had a falling out, but I would like to know how that happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's like authorized or whatever, so this is like a real story.
Love and authorization. It's like a little verified blue check,
mm-hmm.
which I will never have.
The author also wrote novels based on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Charmed, and Mean Girls, a novel. And okay, sure.
Fun. I'm in.
Yeah, I like it.
I it'll be so interesting to go back to the beginning. I would like, I almost kind of want to watch season one again and be like, what was going on back in the
day? I know. One of the people that babysits for the twins and like works where we are right now mm-hmm. is like recently started watching it. And I'm like,
Yeah.
Like, and it's one of those things where I guess she's been like texting the other people that work here that also watch it.
Oh, funny.
And bit and like, you know, she'll watch like three apps in a night or whatever. And she'll just, so you just get a text like every half an hour. It's like, what the fuck? What's going on? Like, Archie's this, you know?
Yeah.
So. That's my favorite. I like people having that like new experience mm-hmm. for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, we jammed through this real fast.
We did. It was a whirlwind.
Well, first of all, it's sunny outside now, which is amazing because it's been raining all day in California. Ugh. And now it looks like it's time to go, I guess. Mm-hmm. Dial M for Maple is a production of Onion Inc. Our theme music is by Stuart Wood. Our producer is Leah Steltenpohl, and our creative director is Leo Garcia. The show is hosted by me, Mara Egan, and Cameron Sheets. If you like the show, tell your friends, and they can find us pretty much everywhere, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, et cetera, et cetera. You can also follow us on Twitter at Dial M for Maple, which is like, really, you gotta do it. Thanks, and we'll see you guys next week for the mid-season finale, Outbreak.
Bye-bye, Bulldogs.